is Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And this is on page 1590 of your pew Bible. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken in the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And then Luke 13, verses 1 through 3, you can find this starting on page 1619 of your pew Bibles. Now, there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think any of these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered with this way? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish." I don't know if you caught the theme of the two passages, but they really focus on Rome and Pilate. Rome, the conquering imperial force, and Pilate, the governor of violence. This is the world that Jesus is born into. The world of Roman rule, of Roman violence, of Roman imperialism. I want to talk about Pilate for just a second. A little historical story just to show the kind of man that Pilate is and the kind of country that Pilate serves. Pilate is the governor of Judea. He is the second longest serving governor of Judea. He ends his term serving Judea because he slaughtered a group of Samaritans. The historical records say the Samaritan has had arms, but also remember the powerful write the historical records, so we don't really know. And so he gets recalled to Rome because they're like, that's not okay. But during his journey, the emperor dies, and so the new emperor just kind of forgets, I guess, or lets it go. Pilate probably retired, most likely, as a retired governor with a pension and peace. Pilate's punishment for slaughtering a group of Samaritans is retirement with pension. Likely. We don't know for sure, but that's the most likely end of Pilate's life. Retirement with a pension. That's the sort of world that Rome is. If you're not a Roman citizen, we will get your compliance by the sword. Even think about the Easter story, the crucifixion and the execution. Pilate's there. Pilate has to approve of this execution. He doesn't, the Jewish people don't even get to execute their own people. Pilate has to approve of this, and Pilate all but says Jesus is innocent. He finds no wrongdoing within him, but he's like, you know what? That's fine. I'm going to wash my hands of it. I'm not responsible. You can kill him, but I'm not responsible. I'm not the one that killed him. And Pilate felt fine about that. A world of violence and chaos. Even go back to the Advent story. Joseph, a likely poor carpenter or stoneworker, had to take his pregnant wife on a journey so the Roman conquerors could count them according to their ancestry. They had no control. They were a people conquered by an empire. And when you talk about the violence of the Roman Empire, we don't get to let the Jewish people off either. Because what they prayed for, they prayed for a violent overtaking of the Roman people. The Zealots especially thought that the Messiah was going to come with a sword and he was going to spill the blood of all of their enemies. They were praying for a violent overthrow of the Roman government. Violence upon violence upon violence. Violence does not beget peace. Jesus comes into a world far separated from peace. Let us think about how Jesus turns the world. Does Jesus come with a sword? No. Does Jesus come and take over? No. Jesus comes as a sacrifice. He gives himself up. He does not protect himself despite the fact that he could. Jesus takes execution, willingly goes to that cross. He does not draw a sword. Let's think about Peter for a second. Peter's all for the drawing of swords. That last night, Peter grabs his sword and wants to have a heroic death. He's going to kill some of the evil men. Now, what Peter actually does is he cuts an ear off of a slave. Does nothing to change the situation, even if he had been successful and killed a couple of the guards. Definitely would not have changed the end. But Peter wants a hero's death. But a few hours later, when people ask him, "Who are you? Did you know him? Do you know him?" Of course you know him. He doesn't get to die a hero's death at that point, and so he chooses the route of cowardice. He doesn't want a peaceful turning. He doesn't want to be a sacrifice. He wants to be a battler, a warrior. But Peter turns too. At his end, Peter also likely takes a cross. He willingly takes his death. Christ does not come to the world to turn us to peace through more violence and conflict. Christ came to turn the world to peace through peace, through sacrifice, through giving himself and sacrificing his own safety and his own life to provide peace. May we also start to turning our hearts from conflict, turning our hearts from glorifying war, turning our hearts to beating our swords and to plows and our spears and to pruning hooks. May we, at least in a small way, turn ourselves to peace. Amen.